Okay, I'm recording now. Drew, you need one of those puppies.
Yeah.
You really do.
I really want one.
Oh.
I really want one.
Get yourself a puppy.
No.
You're an empty
first of
nester
all,
now.
I'm a renter, and the landlords had no dogs.
They said nothing about bunnies.
No, we asked. Bunnies and cats they're fine with, but the dogs, you know, obviously can be a little more destructive.
Sure.
So there's that. And I'd said, I'm not going to get another dog until I live someplace that has a fenced in yard. I want to be able to just open the door and have the dog go out.
Yeah.
And I don't have that right now. So I'm not getting a dog until probably I own a place and not rent and have a fenced in yard.
That's fair.
So, I really want one. Oh, I miss having a dog. They're so great.
There's puppies outside our studio right now and they're so cute.
They are. They're adorable.
Yeah, we will one day when Bella leaves us, but hopefully that's not soon. So she's getting older.
Yeah.
She just is. She's funny. Her little, maybe you both have, but you've been through that. Like, she just sleeps a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
She still shows her little spark of being fun, but that's a lot shorter lived, you know.
Would you get a puppy, like, while Bella is still around?
No, I'd wait. I'd wait.
On one hand, that might be, I guess.
Dogs are social creatures.
Yeah, they are social creatures, and it might kind of reinvigorate her a little bit.
Yeah.
Put a puppy around.
Yeah.
Or she might pee on your bed all the time. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yep.
Nope. Not gonna. Yep.
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 So I was telling John during the show, and I ran out of time, but I went to the Southern Culture Show at Fine Line on Friday night. Really fun show, but, you know, it's a general admission show, and I'm like, you know, I'm kind of getting past the age where the idea of general admission shows are appealing to me and the standing the whole time, you know. So I was like, well, let's get the doors open at 8. I know they'll have, you know, they have some seating, they have some stools, but it's all going to be general admission. So let's get there early. Let's get there, you know, maybe 10, 15 minutes before the doors open, and then maybe we'll be able to snag a seat. You know, we'll be there for like an hour before the first show starts, but that's no big deal. So we did that. You know, we went 8 across the street from Fine Line. And at about, 7:40, 7:45, started walking over. And sure enough, there was a line of about 50 people. All had the same idea we did. So that didn't work.
Okay.
We get in line, and we're behind these four people. It's just two couples, probably around John and my age, maybe a little older. And the two of them, one husband, one wife, were hammered. Just hammered
at like 7:40 p.m.
like before the show even started, like slurring, staggering. You can just tell by looking at them, their eyes were out of focus. You know, they're just laughing at everything and not making any sense whatsoever. They were just hammered. And the other husband, it was really funny watching the dynamic. The other husband was like having fun and kind of playing along, but the wife was like, I had no time for them. Just like, she was annoyed. You could tell she was annoyed. She was not entertained nor amused.
Was she drunk too?
I couldn't tell. She wasn't obviously drunk.
Okay.
You know, maybe she was a little bit, but she wasn't as obviously schnookered as these guys were. But she looked just completely annoyed and had no time. So we're standing in line, and the business next to Fine Line Music Cafe is an adult toy shop. And they have a display on there, you know, and they have an open window display with a lot of adult toys.
Like what? I mean, what do they usually sell it? I'm just kidding.
Probably Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Sorry, they have Star Wars, Adventure Star Wars toys there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nintendo Switches.
Gotcha.
That's my.
Oh, they have toy. Switches, all right.
And you would think I was watching, you were standing behind an episode of Beavis and Butthead with these two people, the two adult, you know, grown ass people standing in front of this window, and they just could not stop laughing and snickering. Like, hey, look how big it is. Look at, well, what do you do with that? Just, like, they'd never seen anything like this before. It was, I mean, it was kind of funny, but it was also like, dude, come on.
Like,
grow up a little bit.
I'm sure it would have been funny, like, the first, maybe, like, halfway sort of funny, the first one time that they make a joke, but
well,
then, like,
non-stop.
After that.
There is, like, a...
Where would you put that?
Right. There's a difference between going, like, that route, looking at stuff like that, and then going more of the sort of ironic... Like, there's a funny way to make jokes about stuff like that, not doing the sort of direct, like, where does that go? I mean, that's just hacky sort of pornographic like dad jokes.
Not even a dad joke. Like, you're just asking a question.
Yeah.
The super drunk wife goes into the shop.
Oh
my gosh.
and, you know, starts grabbing things off shelves and sticking them in the window for them to point and laugh at.
She's like Michael Scott.
And over and over. She's grabbing books and things and toys, and she's like slamming them into the window. And the husband's just cracking up. And I'm like, she's going to get kicked out of this shop.
Can you imagine?
Any second now.
Imagine being like the shop owner. They must get stuff like that all the time.
Yeah, I think if you're the shop owner of a place like that, you're probably just like par for the course.
To a point.
I mean,
but if somebody's like really drunk and staggering around and you've got glass shelves on the display, to me, I'd be like, stop.
Yeah, and that's not the kind of stuff that you really want to have other people like getting their hands in junk all over.
Exactly.
You know, it's a little bit. But it is like Michael Scott with Ryan when he went to the adult shop. That's what it reminds me
of.
You know?
Yeah, it was very much like that. Yeah. Look how naughty we're being. So she comes out of the shop. And the line's still not moving. Doors aren't open yet. She comes out of the shop, and they're all yucking it up and laughing. And then she's like, to the husband, she's like, we should go back in there. I just saw some stuff I want to buy.
Oh,
my
gosh.
He wasn't having any of it. So you could tell she was like, she was on a completely different page than him. The line starts moving. And we get up to the front, and it's one of those places where they check your IDs, they give you a wristband, they do a pat down for weapons, and I'm behind this couple, and they're doing it, and the guy, you know, of course, the drunk guy gets a female to give the ID and do the pat down, and he's like, oh, I've been waiting all day for
oh
this.
Oh my god!
Oh yeah! Do I have to pay extra?
That's the worst, man.
It was so obnoxious. It was so obnoxious. I was embarrassed for them. So then they go in the next step, and then another security bouncer person, whatever, goes to the husband who's like, you can come in. You can have a good time. You can enjoy the band, but I'm going to ask you not to drink. And he put a big black mark, you know, with a marker on his hand.
Yeah.
And he was like, you're cut off. I mean, you've clearly already have enough. And the wife got super mad. And I saw their IDs. They'd come up from Iowa for this show, apparently.
Wow.
Wife got, what do you mean he can't drink? He can't drink? What is he talking about? And the guy's like, look, it looks like he's had enough already. So enjoy the show. Have fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be a great concert. Just no more drinking, which I thought was responsible.
Yeah,
and I thought that was, and I was like, cool, I actually appreciate that.
Yeah,
I mean,
that,
I think that's really smart.
That guy probably
We've heard story after story about how many clubs have gotten in trouble with not only cops, but their local government because they haven't controlled what goes on in their premises.
Yeah, and even if you're that drunk, if you're that drunk and you're an adult, you should have half a brain to know.
Yeah, probably time to slow down.
Not only that, but if you're worried about like keeping your buzz, it'll still be there.
Yeah, right.
That's not going, because like that's the thing I don't understand. It's like you reach a certain age and you know that I'm not going to go past this point of inebriation because it only ends poorly if I go past this point. I've learned.
Right. And if that were ever me, and that's never happened to me, but if that were ever me, I would feel really self-conscious to the point where I was like, oh my God, I am obviously drunk.
Oh, right.
I am obvious to the world that I am drunk. This is kind of embarrassing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to slow down. I'll have Diet Coke, you know, have some with some caffeine, maybe a cup of coffee, whatever, you know, get through the rest of the night. Not these guys. So he gets the big black mark on his hand and is told, you know, you're cut off. Go in, have fun, enjoy the show. Wife's super mad. I get it. We go in right behind them. We park ourselves at a spot of the bar. And the four of them, you know, plop themselves like in the middle of the right in front of the stage, like right on the ground. They're just sitting on the ground in front of the stage, which I guess wasn't that unusual if you're waiting for the show to start.
Okay. The stage didn't seem very high.
It wasn't.
Yeah. It didn't seem very tall. Maybe like a couple feet, maybe if that, like 2 feet. Just like a rate. Yeah.
Yep. So I tell my wife, I'm like, these guys are not going to make it to the show. They're getting kicked out before the show starts. Watch. Sure enough, not even 5 minutes after we got in, the wife goes to the bar, orders 2 beers, and brings one back to her husband.
Oh.
The place is not crowded. There is no show going on. Right, they're standing in the middle of an empty floor. He's got a big giant black mark on his hand, and she hands him a beer, and he starts swigging it. And I'm like, how do you not be like, oh, they told me not to drink? You know, maybe I could sneak one after the show starts. when the lights go down.
Sure.
And it's all crowded.
Right.
And maybe then I could sneak a sip or two of beer.
Not an I'll but show them like, and just go get one
sure,
anyhow.
Sure, now it's fine. I won't drink. Walk in. I'll take a beer. And just start slamming it right in the middle of an empty dance floor. And sure enough, it wasn't, you know, 2 minutes later when he was like, sir, can you come with us? And he spent like the next 40 minutes out there arguing with the security, trying to get let back in. Now, the other couple that was with him and the wife that I said had no time for him, they didn't leave.
Good.
Good. Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
They didn't leave. Yeah. They were like, see ya.
Yeah.
Good.
Heck
they
yeah.
Really glad.
Enjoyed the show.
Heck yeah.
Good.
Screw so you guys.
Yeah.
You're going home.
Yeah. It was so embarrassing.
Were you at all embarrassed from a, because Southern Culture on the Skids is a very, like, very specific band. And I imagine a very unique band. And I imagine their fandom, you know, is probably.
I don't think they really have a fandom.
No? Well, no, but I mean, but I mean,
the traditional sense of that word.
But anyway. No, but I mean, but they have their own fandom. I mean, it's not like an average, it's not like yeah. You're hearing about Southern Culture on the Skids haphazardly and just randomly going to a show.
Right.
You know, it's not like whatever popular band du jour. Like, I don't own any Ed Sheeran records, but if he was playing and somebody go, I'd be like, yeah, I'll go, fine. That's not happening with Southern Culture. And if they traveled up, like, yeah. As a fan, I go, you are a Southern Culture on the Skids fan. You should know better.
You should know better.
Yeah, that's the way I would be with Depeche Mode fans.
I've been
respect
to a,
them more
yeah,
than
exactly.
That.
I guess I've been to enough Southern Culture shows where I wasn't too shocked.
Yeah. par for the course for the Southern Culture on the Skids
maybe,
fans.
Maybe. It's so much. I mean, the last time I saw that, takes aged. Right.
Sure.
I have.
Oh, yeah.
You know, of course they have.
Oh, yeah. Going to see Depeche Mode was an eye-opening.
The average age of that crowd at the show on Friday night was only, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, man. No, I am 100% with you.
I'm old. The things I like are getting old.
Yeah. I mean, I went to all those shows growing up. I look like all these people, don't I?
Yeah.
You know? There's like one woman who is clearly just a mom who's like in the riser up to the right up there, just, you know, and her mom jeans just rocking out. And I'm going, you just look like an out of place idiot. Wow.
Yeah. At one point, my wife commented on how still the crowd was. Like, it wasn't a lot of dancing, you know? And normally, Southern Culture shows can get pretty raucous, you know? But it was relatively still for, you know, the type of music they were playing. And I'm like, yeah, because everybody's old.
They don't want to break a hip.
Yeah.
Everybody's, you know, tapping along the beat on their leg and bobbing their head, but not much more than that.
Yeah.
Not much else is moving there. Oh, I wanted a seat so bad, too. And there was one table where there was a couple and they had a third stool. And I was like, I'm going to go over there and see if we can sit with them. She's like, don't do that. And I was like, no, I'm going to. So I was like, you guys using this stool? Nope. You mind if we kind of hang in this corner of the table here? We won't get in your way. We won't bother you. And they're like, no, it's fine. So we had a stool.
So you guys shared a stool?
Yeah, we shared a stool. We had one. I sat in it for a little while. And then she sat in it for a little while.
That's true love.
And then I sat in it for a little while.
That's amazing.
And then I went off to go to the restroom and during the show, and I come back and she looked very upset, and she's like, "We're not staying here. This is the fourth time somebody spilled on me. This is the worst spot in the entire club."
Oh,
I guess we have to go stand now.
Aww.
It was because it was like right in a walkway.
Oh,
you know, it was
one of
the little paths that everybody was using to get from the dance floor to the bar.
Yeah.
So people were coming back from the bar with like five drinks, you know, for all their friends and spilling them everywhere. And I got something blue and sticky on my Fitbit. I'm like, that's the oldest thing you've ever said. We're at a concert. You're worried about something blue and sticky on your Fitbit. This is not how I remember going to shows.
Aww.
Usually if you got something blue and sticky, you had to pay extra.
Wow. Gross.
What?
No, I'm sorry, what?
Well, that's the shop that's next to the Fine Line.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Wow.
What?
Sam.
John.
Oh.
Don't hate me because you ain't me.
It was a really fun show, though. And then my boy, Cricket, is going to see the Wreckin' Tours tonight.
Oh, nice.
Is that also at the Fine Line?
No, that's at the Armory, I think.
Okay.
I don't remember. I bought him the tickets. It was his birthday present.
Nice.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
I have never been to
You should
the
go
Armory
with him. He doesn't have anybody to go with. I bought him two tickets, but his friend bailed.
I am free tonight. I don't even know. What band is this?
The Raconteurs.
No.
They're great. They're so good.
What do they do? I don't even know what kind
play
of music.
Music.
They
They've got hits. They've been
how
on the
even,
radio.
How do you even spell that?
R-A-C-O. Really? Come on.
Raconteurs.
Sound it out, lady. Come on.
I love raccoons.
You homeschool.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Since you're talking music, I want to play this because I know it's the only way I'm going to be able to get you to. Because you got to hear this. Hold on. Let me say, Sam, I'll send you the link here.
Okay.
Here we go. Na 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 na. I'll send it via email.
You could just text it to me, or
here we go. There.
Let's see.
Yeah, I stumbled across this yesterday. I was on YouTube and watching a bunch of other videos, and there was this. There's a group that we. I think Sam, you had. Told me about them. This group, Hey Violet, and they had a group. They're young. I think the Hey Violet's got a male member in it.
Yeah.
But before this band formed, they were a quartet, an all female quartet called Cherry Bomb. And I listened to one of their songs and I was like, it was all right. And then this video popped up and I was like, oh, I wonder if this is a cover version. Because I never really particularly cared for this song.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched this video and listened to it. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so good. And they're all like 16, 17 years old in this video.
It's a good video.
Keep you in the dark, you know they all pretend. Keep you.
You know the song, right? Foo Fighters. It's not everybody that can sing Dave Grohl's lyrics. You know what I mean? To a song like this, she actually, nails it.
This is the singer from Hey Violet?
Yeah.
Okay.
So she's not the lead singer of this band. So the lead singer of this band left and they became Hey Violet. She was, the backup singer and she became the lead singer of the next band.
Okay.
That makes sense?
This chick did?
Yeah.
Okay.
The girl that's singing the lyrics here.
Okay. The girl with the dreadlocks?
Yeah. Kick it up for the chorus. Yeah, by the end of the song, they get to harmonizing, and it was like, wow, these guys really nailed it. You just don't see that very often. I'm not a big covers fan, but if you can get somebody that could actually sort of.
Yeah.
Do Dave Grohl's lyrics well and be a female. And I think, like I said, I think she's 16
that's
in this
cool.
video.
It sounds really good.
The drummer's a bad A. The drummer's super, she's hardcore. She was really, really good.
How old were these?
They got to be 16, 17 in this video.
There's a comment here that says that Rena, who's, I don't know if that's the one with the dreadlocks, is 13.
Okay, they were younger than
that's
then.
That's insane.
Good
that's
stuff.
Nuts.
That is crazy.
When did you find out, or when did you first get into Southern Cultural and the Skids?
Like 91, my first year at college.
Yeah.
Up in Boone, North Carolina. They're from the Chapel Hill area, North Carolina. So they were, they'd been, pretty active and touring and were on college radio back then. And a buddy of mine just was hanging out at his house one night and I was like, what is this that's playing? And it was their first, EP. First full length record, I should say, Too Much Pork for Just One Fork. And,
love that.
Well, all right then.
I was like, and I remember the song, it was Chitlin Strut. And it's this really cool kind of George Thorogoody kind of sounding song where it's just a guitar riff and it's, great solo, just a power trio, bass, guitar, drums. That's it. I was like, I really like this. What's into it? What is it? And I've got my hands on the CD and just loved them ever since.
Wow.
Said that, seen them over probably 30 times. I don't know. I couldn't tell you how many times I've seen them. But that's the first time I'd seen him in like 15 years.
Is this the song you're talking about?
No.
It says Chitlin Struck.
Well, that ain't Southern culture on the skids.
It reminds me a lot, and I was wrong earlier when I went to when I first discovered Toad the Wet Sprocket. It wasn't Trash Can Sinatra's. It was a group called Kitchens of Distinction that I remember had like a hit single on K-Rock I went to go see, and Toad opened up. And I ended up becoming a massive, like, your love of Southern culture on the skids reminds me of my love of sort of Toad the Wet Sprocket. And it's not like music that I normally gravitate towards. Toad the Wet Sprocket isn't. And I still love them.
That's it.
Chitlin Strut, but Southern culture on the skids. I'm
This is the part that got me.
So
they seem like they would be.
So Drew.
They seem like this would be a blast to see live.
Oh, they're so much fun live. They're the funnest band live. The drummer is like, if you were just staring at the stage, you would think it was just a normal drummer. But no, it's a really short guy, and he plays the whole show standing up. Like, he doesn't have a little stool like most drummers. He just plays. He's so awesome. But they're just a really, really fun band. They get the crowd involved. Their gimmick, you know, their little shtick has always been, they've got a song called Eight Piece Box, and they always play it, and they always bring out chicken, box a bucket of chicken and throw it out into the audience. And then there's a whole series of songs now where they invite, you know, any women up on stage. They do like Camel Walk and Eight Piece Box and Banana Pudding and a couple other songs where they invite women up on stage to dance, and they throw chicken around. They used to even throw like little individual packets of banana pudding out into the audience, but I guess that got a little messy.
Awesome.
So they don't do it anymore.
I love that.
But they're just a lot of fun. They're a really, really fun band to see live. They're really awesome people. I've met them all individually and had little brief conversations with them over the years, and interviewed Rick for a radio show a long time ago back in Florida. And just to really enjoy them. Their shows are a lot of fun. I highly recommend going to see them if you get the chance.
Cool.
This is the first time they'd come to Minnesota since I've lived here anyway. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, like I said, it's been about 15 years since I've seen them, and they still just rock. They're still great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm glad that dude
Rick is a fantastic guitar player. He is so good.
I like their sound. I think that they just seem really cool.
Yeah, they are. They're a lot of fun. You would, you know, if I put together a Southern culture on the play, I could put together a playlist that I think you would absolutely fall in love with.
I think you're right.
John, yeah. Not so much.
Yeah, no.
Feel like the intro
not my cup of tea, but I respect your fandom, sir.
I feel like the intro to, like, the song that we had just played, is it this one? Yeah, I can just imagine
Chitlin Strut.
I can just imagine, like, John's personal hell and this being on repeat.
Find a song called She Bought a Dog. And that has one of my favorite little guitar riffs that the song is kind of just based around.
Man, I am a pro.
It's all right. I like this. This is okay. Sounds a little bit like the beginning sounded a little bit like Suspicious Minds.
Yeah, I can hear that. It's a song about a man who lost his love because she bought a dog.
Find Young Cannibals, not Elvis.
You'll be able to relate to this.
Oh, I totally already am. It reminds me oddly of the only because of the animal affiliation, but the Pet Shop Boys song, where Oh, hold on. What was it? Shop Boys. Was it just I bought a dog?
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Bark, bark, bark. Yes. She bought a dog.
Oh, no. Pet Shop Boys, the Pet Shop Boys song was I Want a Dog. That's right.
You were close.
Yeah. Just, I want a dog, a chihuahua. All right. How sad. You bring up Pet Shop Boys, bought a dog, and the first thing that pops up is PetSmart. Poor Pet Shop Boys. They don't immediately go to. Yeah, we can do promos now.
I'm ready whenever you guys are.
I'm ready. Drew, blue or black?
You should do blue.
Okay.
I'll do black.
Okay. Sam, are you good with doing the pink purple?
It's pink.
Okay, the pink?
Yes.
Okay. I feel if I said it's pink, you would have said purple.
No, I have never said it's purple. I've always said it's pink.
Okay.
You're just wrong.
Okay. I'll accept that. I admit when I'm wrong.
What a harmonious post show this was.
Right?
Mm-hmm. This actually was.
It really was.
Yeah. All right.
We should do this more often.
What can we do to turn it on its head?
Well, John can tell me the pink is purple.
It's not.
Start.
It's not. I was wrong.
You are wrong.
So harmonious.
We were harmonious until John went and started spitting stupidity.
God, John.
But now we're not definitely not harmonious.
Ruined
anymore.
Everything.
We were all getting along so
until
nice.
Sam said spitting stupidity. I don't know.
Ready?
Yes.
Coming up in the Tuesday edition of Justice and Drew.
Should landlords be allowed to do background checks on potential renters?
Of course they should.
Will the John get this rest of the promo right?
What?
That was good. That was close.
Yes, it was not. They failed.
Such close.
Okay.
Such closeness.
Much close.
Okay. Coming
up on the Tuesday edition of Justice and Drew.
Should landlords be allowed to do background checks on potential renters?
Of course they should.
Well, the Minneapolis City Council might not agree.
We'll talk about that, plus Pete Hegseth at 8:35.
Justice and Drew, live and local, 6 to 9, Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
Acting.
Wee. Okay. Rush Limbo. Ready? You're listening to Rush Limbaugh.
Tuesday morning on Justice and Drew, the battle over background checks for renters is heating up.
Listen live, 6 to 9, Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
Ooh.
Spicy. Ooh.
Chicken sandwiches.
I want a chicken sandwich.
Me too.
Spicy chicken sandwich actually sounds really good right now.
I have.
No, and when you get the cold, like only certain foods sound good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Something spicy.
Spicy will kind of clear up your sinuses a little bit.
Spicy. We had Melissa made a grapefruit salad last night.
Do you like it?
I loved it. Grapefruit and goat cheese.
I have a banana and a bran free Kato bar in my car.
It's like hot garbage.
They actually aren't that bad. They actually, so much for harmonious. They actually aren't. They're actually not. Yeah, for,
I'm sure they're
for
sure
being brand free, keto friendly.
Brand free.
I'm sure they're fine.
Brand free.
Well, yeah, it's like a breakfast bar, but it's keto friendly.
Well, this is so. Why does it say brand free?
Pronounced keto.
Yeah, I think keto.
It's keto. It's keto friendly. Does that mean that it won't help me lose weight if I pronounce it wrong?
It puts you in a ketosis. So it's keto.
So it's keto, but it has no bran in it. Maybe it's grain. I could be wrong. It's one or the other. Maybe it's bran. I mean, bran is a grain. Okay. Well, I think it's bran.
If it's a keto, if it's advertised as a
keto
bar.
It's Game of Thrones themed.
If it's advertised.
It's Bran Stark.
It is free of all Bran Stark. No. I'm sure that it might say Bran. I've never heard.
Much like that, you should throw it out the window.
I just.
Nice.
Woo!
Nice. Way to bring it full circle there,
that
Drew.
That was smooth.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's right.
Wow.
It's fantastic.
That was impressive. A-plus, my friend.
When I take it home, I will. You know what? In honor of that, when I take it home, I will set it on my own Iron Throne.
I've just never heard of anything being advertised. Well,
when I get into the car, I'll confirm it and let you know.
For fear that it
bugs you the rest of the day.
I'm pretty sure
it says brand free.
If it is keto, I'm sure it is grain free because grains.
Pretty sure the wrapper says brand.
Carbs,
we'll find out.
Okay.
Which is a matter of moments.
We are mere moments away.
Mere moments away. Joe, we're about as close as Amy Klobuchar getting to 2%.
They are 1% away from 2% of being done. Joe Pags. You're listening to Joe Pags.
Tuesday morning on Justice and Drew, the battle over background checks for renters is heating up.
Listen live 6 to 9 on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
Felt like I sing-songy'd that a little bit. Casey Kasem'd it.
Oh.
The battle for background checks is heating up.
That daily Star Wars podcast.
Kasem. What?
Right?
What?
Yeah, seriously.
I recognize the name, but I can't.
American Top 40. Oh. For like, I don't know, decades.
Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
Got a long distance dedication from Carl in Poughkeepsie.
This is Casey Kasem. Coming
Casey
up,
Kasem
we both
like
do really terrible
character.
Casey Kasem.
Yeah, they were not really good at all. I was more radio voice.
Closing argument.
Well, everybody, no, that's not it.
That was more
long distance dedication going out to you. Yeah, that doesn't work. That doesn't work either. It's like my Ilhan Omar got crossed with Casey Kasem, which was also bad.
Closing argument. You're listening to Closing Argument with Walter Hudson.
Tuesday morning on Justice and Drew, the battle over background checks for renters is heating up.
Is it really? Listen live, 6 to 9, Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
You sounded oddly dismissive of what I had said just a moment ago.
It was meant to sound genuinely curious.
I'm definitely, should I just keep all of it? Just keep all that.
It's pretty funny. No, don't. I don't want to give them any excuses.
I could redo my life. It doesn't matter. Or you can keep it. I don't care.
I do.
Okay.
I was cringing enough at your email response over the weekend.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know.
Let me know when you're ready.
You have no idea what I wanted to say.
I know. Well, let's hold that for after the post show, shall we?
Wanted to say about what?
We'll tell you in a moment.
About
once we're done with the pro show, we'll tell you. This is.
Oh, now everybody who's listening to the post show is going to hate us forever.
No, that's okay. They understand. There's some things that just can't be on the post show.
There's some business.
Business.
Closing argument. You're listening to Closing Argument with Walter. I'm slurring my words.
I'm Sam, and I'm suddenly drunk.
You're listening to Closing Argument with Walter Hudson.
Tuesday morning on Justice and Drew, the battle over background checks for renters is heating up.
Listen live, 6 to 9, Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
No, there's a daily...
Okay, bye. I'm going to end this post show now.
Oh, we can leave this on here real quick. There's a 7x7. There's a star. It's called Star Wars 7x7. It's a daily podcast, right?
Okay.
The guy that hosts it's really nice. Right. And they're nice little chunks because he only does like seven by seven days a week, 7 minutes.
I feel like you're this is going to be followed by a butt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, there's a big butt. I can't. He is so sing-songy and is exponentially worse than I am at laughing at his own stuff because he hosts it by himself. He just so, you know, we don't know what these Sith troopers could be. And it's just like, you just stop, dude. So, you know, these Sith troopers, they could be, you know, they could be calling, they could be answering to Kylo Ren, or they could be in front answering to Palpatine afterwards. He's in the movie. You just don't know. Oh, my gosh, dude. It's so... And like nobody, I wish somebody had the heart to tell him, dude, you're sing-songy and you got to stop laughing at your own crap. Maybe I'm the guy to do it because I do that to myself all the time. So,
dude.
All right, now we can stop it.
Dude.
Dude.
Okay, bye.
Bye.